Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Here we are. This is Thursday, and we're in the book of Exodus here on Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. Glad to be with you this morning. And I want to remind everybody that tonight the Divine Truth Radio Show will be going on live at 9 o'clock p.m. here on Eurofolk Radio. Pastor Mullet and Billy will be giving you the word, and you'll learn a lot. You'll enjoy it. I know I do. I get to sit back and listen while somebody else preaches for a while. Oh, that's a blessing in itself. Just get to sit back. I am hard on the book of Leviticus, because that's going to be coming up next, and I need to have that ready. My stuff is listed on Anglo-Saxon Israel, the written word is, and Exodus is not the current version, so there will be some discrepancies there. I got to laughing and had to cough. Eli's going to update it when I get him the file, but he's working. Nobody gets paid here. We have to earn our own way. And he's busy right now, and when he gets back, I'm going to get that file to him, and he'll get that updated. And then as fast as Leviticus is going with my scanner program, and the cut and paste deal, it'll be done in time. Then we'll update that, and then the later the work gets, the better the equipment I had while I was locked up. And praise Yahweh, it's all been saved. We had a lieutenant that destroyed 10 years worth of work and was written up and stole big screen TVs, and nothing was done to him. He was just told to take his retirement and go away. They're above the law. They do whatever they want. You do not have any rights when you are in federal prison. None. Don't kid yourself. Well, we got the Constitution. Not there, you don't. Slavery is outlawed in the Constitution except as punishment for crime, and when you are in the federal gulag, you are a slave. Deal with it. No rights whatsoever. Don't kid yourself. They don't play by any rules except whatever they make up at the moment. They truly serve the beast. But that'll come to an end soon when Yahshua returns. We are in Exodus chapter 16 today. And they have come out from Mitzrayim. They had Moshe's and Miriam's song all about the drowning of the troops of Pharaoh yesterday. So this is their journey into the wilderness. And it's rather exciting in its own right. And I keep grabbing the wrong mouse. I've got two computers, and I'm grabbing the red mouse instead of the blue mouse. And I'm going to have to sit that back there. Okay. Chapter 16, verse 1. And took they their journey from Elim, 362, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin. That's S-I-Y-N. Number 5512, which is between Elim and Sinai, S-I-Y-N-A-Y, 5514, on the day 15th of the month 2nd, after their departing out of the land of Mitzrayim. Now, in English, it would read on the 15th day of the 2nd month, but I'm not reading it as it would read in English. I'm reading it as it is in Hebrew, so you get used to what the writings of the Hebrew are like. They are different. And I want to familiarize you with the sounding and the wording. Because in a lot of instances where they have translated, in some of these translations, they have anglicized it, which has changed the word order of the word and the meanings of the passage. So I stick as close to the Hebrew, even in the English version, as I can. Because it's very important that you get the context of the sentence, which has been disturbed and changed by some of the translators in the past. I'm taking it back to the original wording. It may be a little clumsy in English at times, but it was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew. And their thought patterns and word patterns were different in many ways. I'll give you an example in this second verse. Murmured, 3885, the whole congregation of the children of Israel against Moshe and against Aharon in the wilderness. Now, we would put that word murmured in English. It would say the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moshe. Well, in the Hebrew, the action of the whole congregation comes first instead of the object of the verb, which is later. Like in German, we would say in English, I'm going to the store. In German, you would say, to the store I am going. Hebrew is very similar to that, or rather, the German is very similar to the Hebrew in the word order. Verse 3, and said the children of Israel, who, 43:10, will give, 5414, had we died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Mitzrayim, when we sat by the flesh pots, the flesh is 13:20, and pots is 5518, and when we ate bread till we were filled, because you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with famine, 7458. Verse 4. Said Yahweh to Moshe, behold, I will rain, 4305, behold, I will rain for you food, 3899, that can be used as bread or food, from the sky, 8064, hashamayim, abushamayim, from the sky. And the people shall go out and gather a portion, 1697. Now that can be translated as a word, a matter, a portion. It has multiple uses. Gather a portion of a day, 3117, in its day, 31:17, so that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or Torah, 8:4:5:1, or not. And it shall be that on the day 6 they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice what they gather daily. It doesn't say the 6th day, it says on the day 6. That's the Hebrew version of how that's how it's written in the Hebrew. Different than in the English. Verse 6, and said Moshe and Aharon to all the children of Israel, at sunset, 61:53, then you shall know that Yahweh has brought you out from the land of Mitzrayim. And in the morning, then shall see you the glory of Yahweh, because he hears your murmurings, 8:5:1:9, against Yahweh. And what are we that murmur, 3:8:8:5, you against us? They didn't bring them out of Mitzrayim. Yahweh brought them out of Mitzrayim. Moshe's humble. He's just in awe of all the things that Yahweh has done. Verse 8, and said Moshe, when Yahweh shall give you flesh to eat in the evening, and in the morning food for to the full, because Yahweh hears your murmurings that you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. He really rebukes them there. He's getting angry. And verse 9, and spoke Moshe to Aharon, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near, 71:26, in the presence of Yahweh, because he has heard your murmurings. Verse 10. And it came to be, as Aharon spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. I mean, these people had just seen all the stuff that Yahweh had done to Pharaoh and his army, and taken him out in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud and all this other stuff, and they still were not satisfied. And we look at our people today, and it's the same deal. There is nothing new under the sun, said Solomon in one of his Proverbs. Well, this is not new today. We're a stiff-necked people. We are in apostasy. We are rebellious. And we wonder why we're being punished. Same deal back then. We're doing the same thing again, folks. I mean, come on. I know there's a lot of faithful out there that are listening to the Word and eating it up because they love it. And they've got Yahweh in their heart. The Word is in their heart. And they're trying to live the best they can. But there's a lot of people that are straddling a fence out there. And that's who I'm preaching at. I don't want to preach to the choir. You are of the faithful. You know what I'm talking about in your heart. You feel it. You've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, but there are those out there that do not, that are still going to some of these Judeo-Christian churches, and they are still listening to that guy in the business suit up in front on the day of the sun god, and they're hearing this, and it's raising questions in their mind about this Yahweh that I keep talking about. instead of the Lord or God. In the same way, while I speak of Yahshua, people that are not familiar with the name have to get the connection to whom I'm speaking about, and I have to drop the word Jesus in every once in a while, because they don't know who Yahshua is. It's a foreign name to them. They've never heard it before. Well, when I'm speaking of the Almighty God, I'm using His name, Yahweh. And when I'm speaking of Jesus, I'm using His Hebrew name, Yahshua, which means Yah is salvation. Yah saves. Yah is short as an epithet for Yahweh, the name of the Holy Father in heaven. His very name has the name of Yahweh in it, Yahshua. Yah is salvation. So if you hear these names, you know that I'm speaking of the Almighty God when I say Yahweh. And I'm speaking of that name Jesus that is incorrect, that the churches use, when I'm speaking of Yahshua. So you can identify with that. So now you know. Let's move on here. Verse 11 of chapter 16, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 12, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at sunset you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with food. And you shall know that I am Yahweh Elohim. Now the word Elohim means your divine being. It is a plural form of Elohim, which is it's also a plural. It means your God. If I have to use the word God, the term is your divine being. God is a derivation of Gad, the god of fortune, the god of luck. Okay, it's a pagan term. So I don't like to use the word God. But I am Yahweh, your divine being. Verse 13, and it came to be that at sunset, 6153, the quails, 7958, same little bird that we go quail hunting today, came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew, 2919, lay round about 5439, round about the camp. So they had so many quails they couldn't handle them. Here's birds, eat these birds. 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, and lay is in italics here because it's just a connection word in English to make it connect. Lay a fine, 1851, scale-like thing, 2636, as fine as the hoarfrost, 3713, on the ground. 776. And my bronchitis is a lot better. I have been taking fenugreek and thyme that was gifted to me by a brother, and it is much, much better, and I don't have to cough nearly as often, and probably won't at all if I keep taking this stuff. It's really, really drying up all the drippings. Ew. Verse 15, and when saw the children of Israel it. Now in English you say, when the children of Israel saw it, but that's not how it reads in the Hebrew. Said they to one another, what is it? That's one word. 4478. Okay. Ma, what, who? That's what is it also. Now let me, where I find that. That's verse 15. Okay, that's an error. I'm going to have to fix that or look it up, one or the other. It says ma, which means what, and who, 1931. So I will mark that with a pen. I can't have that in there. I'm going to have to fix it. I'm really picky. I can't stand it. All these other publishers just are so sloppy in their proofreading. And I'm a fanatic about it, so I can't tolerate any errors in Scripture. That's not right. So it's 4100 and 1931. What is it? Because they knew not what it was, and said Moshe to them, this is the food which Yahweh has given you to eat. Verse 16, this is the word which has commanded Yahweh. Gather of it every man according to his eating. And Omer 6016, that's an Omer, that's a dry measure. For every man, 1538, for the word man, person, according to the number of persons. Every man take what you need for those in your tents. Verse 17, and the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Verse 18, and when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Verse 19, and said Moshe, let no man leave of it until the morning. Okay, verse 20, they listened not to Moshe, and some left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, 887. And angry was Moshe with them. They didn't listen. Verse 21, and gathered they of it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun grew hot, it melted. 4549. Verse 22, and it came to be that on the day sixth, they gathered twice as much food, two omers for one man, and all the rulers, 5387, of the congregation came and told Moshe. And he said to them, "This is as has said Yahweh. Tomorrow is the rest, 7677, of the holy Shabbat, 7676, unto Yahweh. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe what you will seethe, and that which remains over lay up for you to be kept until morning." 24. And they laid it up until the morning as Moshe bid them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. When you obey Yahweh, that's what happens. Verse 25, "And said Moshe, eat that today, because today is a Shabbat unto Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field." Of course not. "And it was pre-cooked, because we are not to kindle a fire on the Shabbat." So you just ate it out of the pot. Verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Shabbat, there shall not be any. And it came to be that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. Oh. Verse 28, "And said Yahweh to Moshe, how long will you refuse," 3985, "to keep my commandments," 4687, "and my Torah," 8451, verse 29. "See, because Yahweh has given you the Shabbat, therefore he gives you food for 2 days on the sixth day. Every man abide in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." Verse 30. So desisted 7673 the people on the seventh day. The Shabbat is a holy day to Yahweh. It's really serious. He's serious about this. You'll see this a little later. I'll make note of it that you notice that passage when I get to it. Verse 31, "And the house of Israel called it man." Okay? Not manna. Not manna. Didn't call it manna. That's an addition. They've changed the word. And it was like coriander seed. 1407, coriander seed. White, and the taste of it was like wafers, 6838, with honey, 1706. Vayikrayu Beit Yisrael et Shmo Man, Wahu Kzera Gad Laban, Wata'amo Ketzapisik Bidabash. Laban means white, and it was the name of the father of one of the wives of the patriarchs. He was called White. My, imagine that, an Israelite, a Hebrew, being called White. Funny how that happens. verse 32. And said Moshe, this is the thing which Yahweh commands. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your posterity, so that they may see the food with which I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 33, and said Moshe to Aharon, because he was the priest, take a pot and put an omer full of man in it, and lay it up before Yahweh to be kept for posterity. 34, as commanded Yahweh to Moshe, so Aharon laid it up before the ark to be kept. It was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, because it was a miracle of Yahweh. Verse 35, and ate the children of Israel man 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. Ate they man until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Verse 36, now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah, 3, 7, 4. Well, he shut them up by giving them quails. And then he gave man. I have to realize that all scripture is backed up by science. And man is no exception. In the Brown Driver Briggs Ksenius Lexicon, page 577, number 4478, known to Bedouin in Sin, it's evidently a drippings from a tree found in the region. And it's penin, a juice exuding in heavy drops from twigs, parentheses, some say also the leaves, of the tarfa, T-A-R-F-A, parentheses, T-U-R-F-A, tree, Tamarix gallica monifera, in the West Sinai Peninsula. And Bedouin in the Sinai Peninsula, yes. At the end of May and in June, sweet, sticky, honey-like. Okay. This is a perfect fit for the substance provided to Israel by Yahweh. Yahweh used this entire scenario to again firmly establish his Shabbat. It was a cessation, to cease from all labor, and of course, it may be translated as rest, although this is a weaker form of what is meant than cessation, at least in my opinion, it's weaker. As to the exact measurement of an omer and the ephah, these have been lost over time, and we can only guess at an approximate measurement. And if any of you ever get access to a Brown Driver Briggs Ksenius lexicon, snatch it up, get it, buy it, because they've just got the Brown Driver Briggs out, and it is not as exhaustive as the version with the Gesenius in it. Now you have to read some Hebrew, but you can learn to do that because it gives more information than anything I have ever found. It is the doctorate level Hebrew lexicon that they use in colleges. It's the finest out there. Now, in chapter 16, verse 15, you can reference 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And verse 18, you can reference 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 15. And verse 23, you can reference Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And verse 28, where they use 8451, it is torotai, which is the plural of Torah. It can also mean teachings instead of law. It doesn't always mean law, it means teachings, depending on the context. In verse 31 of chapter 16, you can reference Numbers, chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. And in verse 33, you can reference Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 4. And verse 35, you can reference the book of Joshua, or Yahshua in the Hebrew, chapter 56, verse 12. So, here we have the whining starting already. They're just out of the house of bondage, relieved from their cruel slavery. And they're whining! Oh, man. I just got a get out of jail free card. And they're whining they want a limo to pick them up. Oh, man. Are we knuckleheads or what? I'm included in this. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm pointing at the guy in the mirror. I know all about sin because I have been so good at it all my life. Oh, man. I have been many times a complete knothead. Let's get into verse 17, or chapter 17. It's a short one. So we'll get that done today. I was going to do 18, and it's real long. I don't want to get into 18 today. I'll do 16 and 17 and take up 18 tomorrow on Friday. Chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, S-I-Y-N, as I said. Congregation here is Adath, number 5712. There are other words that mean assembly and other things. They intersperse through Scripture. They just, you know, they're very close. After their journeys, according to the mouth, 6310, of Yahweh, and encamped in Rephidim, R-E-P-H-I-Y-D-I-Y-M, number 7508. And there was no water for the people to drink. Verse 2, contended, 7378, the people with Moshe, and said, give us water so we may drink. and said Moshe to them, "Why contend with me? For what reason do you test 5254 Yahweh?" Verse 3, "And thirsted there the people for water, and the people murmured against Moshe," again, "and said, why is this that you have brought us up out of Mitzrayim to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Verse 4, "And cried Moshe to Yahweh, saying, what shall I do to this people? They are almost ready to stone me." Verse 5, "And said Yahweh to Moshe, go on before the people, and take with you the elders, 2205 of Israel, and the rod with which you smote the river, take it in your hand and go." Verse 6, "Behold, I shall stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb," 2722, that's Mount Horeb, "and you shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, so that the people may drink. And did so Moshe in the sight of the elders of Israel." All right. This time he is commanded to smite the rock. The next time he is commanded to speak to the rock only, not smite it. Number one is smite, number two is speak. That comes up later. "And did so Moshe in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, M-A-S-S-A-H, 4532, and Meribah, M-E-R-I-Y-B-A-H, 4809. Because of the contending, 7379, of the children of Israel, and because they tested 5254 Yahweh, saying, "Is Yahweh among us or not?" Okay, well, here comes a verse 8 that Eli and I discussed on another one of the shows. "Then came Amalek, 6002, and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Verse 9, "And said Moshe to Yahshua," 3091, which they called Joshua in English, "choose us men and go forth, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Elohim in my hand." Verse 10. "So did Yahshua as had said Moshe to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moshe, Aharon, and Hur," 2354, "went up to the top of the hill." Verse 11, "And it came to be, when Moshe held up his hand," and that's the one he had the rod of Yahweh in, "prevailed Israel. And when he let down his hand, prevailed Amalek." Okay, Yahweh's hand is in this. He's just not letting it ride. Verse 12, but the hands of Moshe were heavy. He's an old man at this point, getting tired. And took they a stone and put it under him, and sat he on it. And Aharon and Hur held up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13. And overwhelmed 2522 Yahshua Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, because Yahweh was fighting and giving them strength and making them prevail. They weren't doing it on their own. It wasn't men against men. It was Israel and Yahweh against Amalek, who vastly outnumbered the Israelites. Verse 14, and said Yahweh to Moshe, write this for a record, 2146, in a scroll, 5612, they use that word for book, but it means scroll, because they didn't have bound books then. They wrote on large scrolls, and they rolled them up on scroll rollers. And place 7760, it, in the ears of Yahshua. In other words, make sure that Yahshua hears this. Because I will wipe out 4229. Wipe out the remembrance 2143 of Amalek from under the sky. They're still around today. And he's going to take care of it when the other Yahshua comes back, the Redeemer. Oh, yes. Verse 15, and built Moshe an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nissi, 5251. Verse 16, for said he, because has sworn Yah, 3050, that's the epithet for Yahweh, I will war Yahweh with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay. That's pretty definitive. Generation to generation. Midor, door. That's 1755 for generation. Yahweh Nissi. Yes. I have two different references to that. We'll look that up here. I'm listing 5251 in here, and I don't believe that's correct. I'll find out in just a second. This is an awful lot of text, and sometimes I have slipped up and made a boo-boo. So I try to correct it. And I will find that. Okay, that is correct. 5251. Yahweh Nissi. It's a standard, a banner. Yahweh's banner. And actually it means Yahweh is our battle standard. That's what that means. So I need to change that to 5251 in the Hebrew. That's easy enough to do. I did this original work on very primitive typing equipment when I was locked up, and there are a few numbers and stuff that have slipped through, and when I find them, I circle them, and then I get into the program and I change it. I want to present accurate information here. I don't have any tolerance for error with myself. I know the major publishers of a lot of the books let stuff go because it doesn't really matter to them. Well, it does matter to me, and I don't even want to have a number wrong. I'm really fanatical about it because I care so much. We've been getting false information, and any little error really bothers me. I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it. The scripture needs to be accurate. Basically, here in this chapter, they were in a waterless wilderness. And he was taking them through, and they were whining and all that. And they were wondering if Yahweh was still with them and all that. And he just did another miracle. He said, strike this huge rock. And it brought forth a huge amount of water. And that rock is still there. It is split. And there's water coming out from between it today. Not in the amount that it did then. But it's still there. I mean, none of this stuff is fables or fantasy. This is all very much reality. Let me give you some reference points. Verse number 1 of chapter 17 is Numbers 20, verses 2 through 13. Verse 8 of chapter 17 is the book of Yashar. That's the book of the upright. It's called Jasher in English. Chapter 81, verse 52. And verse 9, we have the name Yahshua. That means Yah is salvation. It's the same name as that of the Messiah. 3050 is an emphatic for Yahweh, 3068. It's the epithet, Yah. Like we say, Alleluia. Praise Yah. Praise Yahweh. Verse 14, reference Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 through 19, and 1 Samuel, Shmuel, chapter 15, verses 2 through 9. And there's going to be a battle with Amalek as long as they are in existence. They're still around today, and they have mingled with all the others. And they are the enemy of Israel today, as they were then. So, nothing new under the sun. And I keep reiterating this, that even though they're around, Yahweh has got it. He's going to deal with them. It's not going to be a pretty scenario for them at the end, because this is what is said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Or let's take it from 6 through 10. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you. He's speaking to Israel. And to give you who are afflicted, again, Israel, rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength, when he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones and to be admired among all those who believe in that day, because our witness to you was believed. It's going to be a bloodbath when he comes back. Flaming fire. I mean, get real. I wouldn't want to be one of the goat people. I'm grieving over our Israelite brothers and sisters who are going to reject this, because it says clearly in Revelations that all of Israel is not Israel. There are going to be Israelites that are going to join the lake of fire, join in the lake of fire with the devil and his minions. There's conditional acceptance. You have to accept what Yeshua did at Calvary. And then you have to change your life and you have to obey and follow his teachings. Multiculturalism is not obedience. Race mixing is not obedience. Homosexuality is not obedience. Worshipping on the day of the sun is not obedience. Observing Christmas and Ishtar Sunday is not obedience. You cannot Christianize paganism. You cannot do that. And that is what they are attempting to do in Judeo-Christianity today. They're celebrating pagan days. They're having pagan Easter egg hunts for the kids. Oh, it's fun for the children. And we don't want to tell them that there's no Santa Claus and the Christmas tree's so pretty. Read the book of Jeremiah. It tells you about the Christmas tree, that it's a pagan thing. I mean, please. Yeshua said clearly, if you love me, obey my commandments. What does it take? A ton of bricks to fall on your head, Israel. Now, I'm not talking to the faithful out there that are already in process that believe. I'm talking to you that are sitting on the fence, that are listening to this drivel that's being put out by these TV evangelists. I watched a video that David James posted of John Hagee. I almost vomited. I have never seen anything so disgusting in all my life. And those blind, deaf, and dumb people are sitting there with worship in their eyes, watching that liar tell them all this garbage about the rapture and all this other nonsense. All I can say is, I feel sorry for you. It's about that time, so I'm going to say shalom aleichem to all my brothers and sisters, and I'll catch you again tomorrow. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers. marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus, go.